Flawless from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I'm Al Cortland, and I appreciate you joining me. January 1st, Happy New Year to everybody. I hope you have a good one. And I have to tell you, I pray to God that our country has a good 2011. I pray that we start to get out of this economic mess that we're in right now. We've got some predictions coming on the show today. We're going to devote virtually every single segment to predictions as to what's going to happen in 2011 from a financial standpoint. Starting out with the master prognosticator, Roger Wiegand of Trader Tracks. Roger has some very, very specific ideas on the direction of gold and silver during 2011. Roger was over at the house having dinner with the family and I a couple nights ago. He brought some charts over and said, you know, all of the research that I've done shows that it's going to be a blockbuster year in 2011. Roger, let's start out with gold. What's going to happen in your mind?
I ran these new numbers technically off a base of 1050 floor for gold and another one at 1250. And let's take the more modest and conservative numbers, and I think those would be pretty much attainable. If we come from a low floor of gold, cash price at $1,050, we've got four brackets of numbers that go higher. The first one would be $1,298.50. We're already past that because gold today, February futures, is $1,413. So our next goal after that would be $1,448.50, and we're not far away, and I would presume that we would see that here in the next few days. Now we get into the interesting part. The next big move is $1,575 technically. Now, when you get into that range with gold, either whether it's $1,615 or $1,400, you're going to get a cluster in prices that go between $1,565, $1,575, $1,585. So let's say that that bracket, support and resistance for gold, that would probably be April gold futures, $1,575. Then comes the next big jump, and this would be probably June gold futures, and that would be $1,698.90. And then shortly thereafter, it's off my technical marker, but I could pretty much tell you that if we touch $1,698.90, you're going to see $1,707. Now, of course, the next big question is, when does all this happen? I would say this has an excellent chance of happening in the first 5 to 6 months of next year, 2011.
Well, the numbers that you were just giving definitely fell into that time frame. Those are some pretty interesting technical factors. I don't really understand technical analysis, Roger. I'm really a fundamentalist from the word go, and I always have been. But in terms of fundamental reasons, Roger, what fundamental reasons can you come up with to correlate these thoughts?
Well, the basic fundamental reason, I think, the biggest one of all would be Bernanke's QE2. And we did say in our newsletter numerous times already and on the radio that, in my view, Mr. Bernanke is going to run QE2 from now through the first quarter of next year. The second quarter, he's going to do QE3, whether he announces it or not. And then in the fall, there's going to be QE4, because in our view, none of these QEs are going to work. He's pushing on a string. He's continuing to have to push bond money out by the billions, buy it back himself, and put it on the shelf into what we call bond purgatory. So we're looking at three QEs at $500 billion each over the next 9 months, and we think that in the fall of next year, it's going to catch up to him, and he's going to hit the wall with a big problem.
Now, let's assume that the quantitative easing that you're talking about doesn't occur. Let's assume that some other type of technique, and the one that I happen to be very, very optimistic about is a change in the tax, you know, a change in the tax structure. And by that, I don't mean necessarily higher taxes for everybody. I mean a way to get the 50% of the people who aren't paying any taxes to start paying them, and a way to get the additional 21% of the people that don't even file returns to get them to pay taxes also. And I'm going to be chatting about this later on in the show, because I think it's a very critical issue. But you are betting all of this on the concept of continued quantitative easing by the Fed, right?
There's two companion things that go with it, Al. Number one is that this quantitative easing, which has already been started many months, years ago, they've been manufacturing bonds and cash by the billions. And that what that's doing is it weakens the dollar, and when the dollar weakens, commodities are going to rise. And when commodities rise, gold and silver takes off big time.
Well, of course, of course. All right, well, Big Al's not going to agree or disagree with that one, because virtually anything is possible. If I've learned nothing else over the years, I have learned that anything is possible. Okay, comments about silver.
Silver right now, the March futures are at $30.65. We're up at 1.1% today. The high was 30.69.5. Silver, the next big marker that we've got to break through, particularly against the May futures, would be $32.48. When we achieve that number and we touch it, all of our silver spreads that we hold in trader tracks right now are going to pay in full, probably even before that. The next big marker for silver is going to be somewhere around $38.48, and then $42.48. And then $48 and change. Please keep in mind, viewers and listeners, that when we hit $50, and I think we're going to touch it next year, it's going to be a big roadblock technically, because that was the high in back in, you know, the 80-81 episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's extremely important for people to understand they're going to be euphoric by that time when silver hits that price, but they've got to understand that when it does, the profit taking is going to be monumental.
At $50.
Yep.
Okay.
But then it'll come back, and then it'll go a lot higher. You know, our longer view is way beyond that.
Interesting. How does all of this correlate in Trader Raj's mind in terms of the resource sector consisting of the stocks of the companies in this particular arena?
Well, we've been holding back a little bit in this quarter, but we're getting ready to open up right after the holiday with more buying. And we see that the stocks of silver and gold companies all the way across the board, juniors to seniors, all their call option opportunities are going to blossom between now and January 15th and right on up to probably the end of January. Then around the first week of February, we get a pause, then we take off in the next rally again. So it's going to be quite interesting, to say the least. We're going to be long heavily in the first half of 2011.
And then second half, just you're not looking?
Second half, yep. We're very worried because of credit markets and credit problems. And if we go into next year and have another Lehman event in the second half like we did a couple of years ago, we're going to have to do some adjusting, put out some alerts, and work around the problem, because if, in fact, the stock market goes down hard in the fall of next year, it will temporarily take down gold and silver shares with a vengeance, just like before. And then we think the regular broader market will stay down, but gold and silver is going to bounce back, come right back up again.
You mean gold and silver related yep. companies is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, in a macro sense, what I'm hearing you say is you're thinking that 2011 perhaps is not going to be a great year for the U.S. economy.
No, I don't think so at all. I think that the first half, it's inflation-driven. You can see that in the food and energy right now, which is really going to accelerate. There's no question about it. But the broader market economy in the United States, I think, has got some major problems.
I think they've got some major problems. There really isn't any question about that. And we're going to get views on this from the other regular expert guests on our show in the segments that follow here. Roger, I want to thank you very much for taking some time to visit on this one. I want to suggest to everybody, take a look at Roger's newsletter, Trader Tracks. I think this guy is a very, very intuitive individual, and I think everybody ought to read his stuff.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance.
compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, December 31st, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $14,1350. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $14,4993, $7,2497 for a half ounce, or $3,6248 for a quarter ounce. That's $14,4993, $7,2497, or $3,6248.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco-flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Calling all manufacturers from across the United States. Are you eager to have people buy your products right here at home instead of having them buy competing products made on the other side of the world? Do you want to build your business while helping boost our nation's economy at the same time? Then localmakers.com is the website for you. Our site provides an easy way for manufacturers to connect with customers within their local community as well as across the United States. From the small manufacturer who works out of their home to the large manufacturers across the U.S., localmakers.com connects customers to the closest manufacturer by simply entering their zip code. So if you make your own goods and want to expand your market, go to localmakers.com and put your products on one of our shelves. If you're not a local manufacturer but know someone who is, take advantage of the localmakers.com referral program and earn income by getting others to join. Simply go to localmakers.com and register. There's no cost to join. That's localmakers.com. Visit localmakers.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Let's see if Professor Wiegand is right regarding his predictions for 2011. He's pretty, pretty bullish on gold and silver. Okay, got another expert with me right now, Peter Grandage. Peter is a regular on our program. Pete, we're talking about predictions for what's going to happen financially slash economically during in the United States during 2011. Where do you want to start, my friend?
Well, I think the general picture, at least to me, me and I think some others, is that commodities in general now are a legitimate asset class. And I think what we're going to see in 2011 is an expansion past what now people are first, and you know, you and I and some others like Roger have been extremely bullish for years over, but whereas gold and silver now are somewhat becoming an acceptable asset class, I think over the next couple of years, we're going to see more of the agricultural type commodities become more of that because of the horrific food problems we have due to overpopulation. Farmland is going to remain very, very attractive. No, everybody can run out and buy a farm. But food, water, and alternative energy, I think, are going to be things that do well, irregardless of whether or not the general U.S. stock market does well.
What do you think the U.S. stock market is going to do next year? Wiegand is pretty pessimistic during the final 6 months of the year. He's looking for a big collapse. What do you think?
I'm not in the collapse camp, but I'm firmly back in the bearish camp. I believe we witnessed a Santa Claus rally in December. The Don't Worry, Be Happy crowd has once again turned pessimists into optimism people again, and I think they've become complacent. There's too many horrific economic, social, political problems to see the stock market go much further, but I don't think it's going to collapse. I do think there are a couple of things we need to be mindful of politically and geopolitically. I know last week when you and I discussed, we had different opinion. I think there's going to be more of a polarization in Washington as the Republicans take control again. I think the Democrats have lost the middle. I think what's being left of the Democratic Party is going to be more to the left and radical and going to dig in their heels. And then geopolitically, all things are unfortunately pointing to the keg finally blowing off, unfortunately, in the Middle East as we speak. Skirmishes now are becoming more pronounced, and there's big concerns now that we're going to see some serious problems in the Middle East. So I think politically and geopolitically, plus the generalities of just too many problems economically here in the U.S., for the U.S. stock market to go far. But that doesn't mean other markets are going to go down with it. I don't think we're going to have a financial crisis that reaches around the world, but I think the United States stock market will underperform.
Pete, I have to tell you, if it's going to happen in the Middle East, and I think it's definitely going to happen in the Middle East, 2011 has got to be the year. I mean, when a high-ranking Israeli official came out just a few days ago and said, I am very, very pessimistic about the peace process, I mean, that's not looking good. You know, neither side is really willing to give. And I have to tell you, that's really, really one of the fallacies of humanity, is that it takes a really, really big person and a very unique person to be willing to compromise with somebody who he absolutely detests, or somebody who he or she thinks, you know, is their absolute 100% enemy. And I think the Middle East is going to explode. And in my humble opinion, and I'd like you to elaborate on this if you would, but in my humble opinion, I think that when that happens, I think the initial thing that's going to occur is that gold is going to absolutely go screaming higher. And then I think all the resource companies are going to tag right along with it. And I think that's going to be the catalyst in 2011. What does Peter Grandage say?
Well, one of the things that's definitely going to go substantially higher, and I agree with you in the gold, will be oil. And why oil is critical now is, economists here will tell you now, oil is getting priced to where now every time it kicks up, it literally takes away from GDP growth in the United States because of the cost of gasoline and heating and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do have this skirmish, and even if we don't, I still think oil is going over back to triple digits again. That's going to impact our economy. I've suspected, and I really feel more what I read from the intelligence sources that I read worldwide every day, that Israel knows what it was facing. It knew it had an enemy that didn't really want peace. But Israel's been waiting for our Republicans to take control of the Senate again, because in the last 2 years, Israel did not get the support it's usually accustomed to from the political cover from the United States. And I think they feel comfortable now that if and when this war breaks out, that they'll get more support from the United States, particularly the House and the Senate. So, unfortunately, I think we're going to walk in someday in 2011 and be discussing a large-scale military conflict in the Middle East.
I don't disagree with that, though, but you keep in mind the Republicans don't control the Senate. They have strengthened their position in the Senate, but they still don't control it yet. Yeah, they control the House big time, and I guess the question here is the administrative branch going to, going to swing more towards the right, as some people have thought that our president has done in recent weeks, and I don't know what the answer to that is. What do you think?
I don't think it's a swing to the right. I think it's a stop moving more to the left, and that in itself, as you used in our last conversation, somewhat, and maybe not compromise, but more meeting of the minds. I think we have a president that's been extremely weakened. I don't think he has the clout he had when he first entered office, and therefore, from a support standpoint, and Israel's had one of the strongest lobbyist group in the world
in
the capital.
Sure.
I think they're going to feel much more comfortable when the next Congress is sworn in, that if they have to go to a conflict, they're not going to be dealing with some of the things that came out when Obama was first elected, where it seemed like we were almost abandoning Israel in some people's eyes. So, unfortunately, I think that's probably, unfortunately, finally coming. Everything you read now, the skirmishes that are getting almost daily, and the unfortunateness in this time around is the so-called enemies of Israel have some really serious weapons, so I don't think this is going to be one of these things that happen 3 or 6 days, and then they have another ceasefire. I think this is going to be the telling conflict that's really going to change or fortify Israel's strength in the Middle East.
So you're basically saying that you think that Iran has nuclear capabilities right now that they got from someplace else?
Well, I don't think they have it yet. I think it's been disrupted. But the problem isn't Iran itself. It's the support they give. But it's Hezbollah and others now that are literally all around the border of Israel and with weapons now that can really incur some serious damage to Israel. Israel knows that. And so I think what you also got to remember also as we close here is that the man in charge in Israel now is probably the most hawkish person that's been there in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a lot of political fights in recent months, and he's come out on top. So I think Israel is now prepared internally to deal with a conflict that many there felt needed to come to finally, what they believe, allow them to really set the stage for them to have peace for decades to come.
I hope that happens. When I say I hope that happens, what I mean is I hope that that the Middle East experiences peace for decades to come. But I think there is going to be a huge eruption before that happens. And I think that's probably what you're saying here. And I think that, in my humble opinion, if I can summarize what I think you just said, I think that what you're saying is the catalyst for next year's absolutely incredible bull market in gold and silver is going to be events in the Middle East. Pete, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You got to admit, those two guys are pretty interesting when it comes to economic forecasting. I'm going to kind of narrow it down a little bit in the next segment, possibly two segments. I'm talking with my buddy Dan Pacenti down in San Francisco. Dan has been part of the financial community for 20, 30 years now. He's a CPA. He's a very, very bright guy. We do a lot of business transactions together. He's a good friend, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, having said that, when it comes to discussions about taxation, the constitutionality of the actions of some of the things that are going on in the United States, this guy is really up on it. Now, I want to begin this by talking about his predictions for taxation. Let's change that to his views on taxation in the United States. You know, I went on record as saying that trickle-down economics, in my opinion, probably isn't the answer. You know, it hasn't really, in my mind, proven to have worked in the past. And the numbers basically show that. Dan, you think I'm nuts on that issue?
No, I don't think you're nuts on it. I do think it's effective, but I think we're just missing the boat about taxation in general. We're looking at it the wrong way. We're starting from what the spending is to try and raise money. That's wrong because spending's wrong. We're starting with how we can manipulate people so that we can get a certain amount of income. That's wrong. We're trying to break people up into different blocks and say, all right, if we do this to one group and this to another group, what will be the net result? That's wrong. The whole concept of taxation should go back to a very simple thing. First, we ought to decide what is government, and that's much easier when everybody has to pay the freight.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've decided what government is, we need to apply a tax that is something that is reliable, it's going to be there year after year, and that is not a fair system, because fair means something different to everybody. Fair to a lot of people is steal from the rich and give to the poor. But we're going to come up with a system that treats everybody the same.
everybody can apply the same rules. And we're not close to that. We have a very progressive income tax structure in the United States, more progressive than most Western countries. And it's very discriminatory, and it's not fair to anybody that has to really pay the tax.
Mm-hmm.
A good chunk of the population doesn't pay any into the income tax system.
That number, if I can interrupt you just for a second, that number, it was brought to my attention by our CPA, that number is 50% of the people in this country don't pay any income tax. And then a listener, when I made that comment on the air, Dan, a listener sent me an email, and he said, don't forget the 21% of people who don't file tax returns. There's a, you know, so that adds to that 50%. So, yeah, I mean, there are a preponderance of people in the United States, you know, they really don't have any skin in the game, so to speak.
Yeah, and of course, what are they going to do? It's natural for them, if they're not driven by any strong moral system, it's natural for them to demand more government because they're not paying for it. Just like in our healthcare system, they create something where people don't pay for things. And so they go and ask for more of it, and the system gets to be very expensive. That's the problem that we face. So with trickle down, the whole concept is there's a group of people in the United States that are going to excel. There's a group, in a law of large numbers, you're going to have some people that are going to work harder or smarter or something, and they're going to have better results. And there's nothing unfair about that. That's a very fair system. If some people don't want to apply themselves, that's their problem.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not up to the government to equate the outcomes for people. It's up to the government to give you the ability to pursue your own happiness, you know, without being ripped off, that your contracts are abided by and all those things. But it's not to equate the outcomes for you. So some people are going to work harder or smarter or whatever. They're going to do better, and they're going to pay more tax because there's the most tax to pay. They've got the most income.
Sure.
And so if any deduction, any drop in the rates, they're going to benefit more, I guess. You could look at it that way. In fact, they're going to not get taken as much is really the way we should look at it. And so it looks like it's a ripoff to lower bracket people, but it isn't. It's because they're paying more tax. It's so simple. You could do the math. If somebody is paying, say, $1 million in tax and somebody's paying $10 in tax, and there's a 1% drop in the rates, well, the $1 million guy is going to get a, you know, he's not going to pay a lot less tax. He's going to pay a lot less tax. And the guy who's only paying $10 is going to say, wow, wait a minute, he's not having to pay all this money, and I only get this much back. So
Yeah,
that's why it's a phony argument.
Yeah.
The problem is you have the wealthy people or the high-income earning people. Let's not confuse the two, because you can have years when you have high income, you sell a business or whatever.
Yeah.
But those people, they're paying such huge amounts of tax that whenever you cut their tax bill, even the slightest bit, it looks like they're getting this big benefit. The fact of the matter is we've been taking from them to such a large extent, and it's so disproportional from what we take from other people. It in my opinion, we ought to get to where we get to a flat tax.
Well, I want to talk about that shortly, but I want to ask you a question. And let's go back to trickle-down economics, Reaganomics, whatever you want to call it. I would have to say that if you break an economy down to a simple income statement and you look at revenues and expenses, okay, if revenues go down and expenses go up, the business isn't going to work. And that's why, you know, I would maintain that if people say, let's not give a break, okay, to folks making over $250,000 a year, let's not give them a break because the revenue that the country is going to get from taxes, you know, is going to basically provide the, you know, the rationale for doing that. And on the surface, I would agree with that, on the surface, okay? I think that by giving wealthy folks a break, they're not necessarily going to spend that money to grow the economy. Now, by the same token, I have to say, and I believe this very, very strongly, that that's only part of the equation. The other part of the equation is you simply have to cut expenses. The government cannot be all things to all people. It's tried. And because of that, we live in a country right now that in reality is insolvent and may very well not be able to achieve a status of solvency again.
Yeah. Those are all correct, but again, there's two issues first is the morality of treating one person differently than another, and that's what we're doing when we're deciding who gets a break, if you want to call it that, or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a moral question, and for some reason, this country, a good chunk of the country, is very cool with taking from people in a certain bracket, and I find it to be extremely immoral, and someone should be making that moral argument. The second part is whether it's constitutional or not, and I think the court should examine this. Someone should bring cases to this effect. Why you treat one group differently. I mean, it's a very progressive system where we're taking from one group to give to another. That's discrimination. Now, the third part is what it generates in revenue. That's the point you're getting to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. You probably don't get a one-for-one return of tax revenue. If you lower the brackets, you get that much back, or you may do that. But let's look at it. It should be intuitive to people that when you allow people to keep more of their income, whether it's a small business owner or it's a high-income tax person, they're going to go out and spend that money, and some of that is going to be invested. It's going to be invested in an expansion of a business.
I don't think that's a guarantee, and the numbers that I have looked at have proven that to be a little bit on the fallacious side.
The numbers I see are it's around three-quarters or so as you get back, but that's irrelevant, and that's the subject that I think conservatives – or people that believe in their constitution or have some moral system or guided by some moral system, those people need to get away from these other calculations because it's dishonest to be stealing from one group to give to another. It's a religion. It's a liberal religion that is not mentioned in our constitution and is quite immoral. If rich people want to give away their money, and they do, believe
mm-hmm.
me, if anybody's
sure.
following the news, that's their business. If they want to burn it, if they want to waste it on things, if they want to buy drugs with it, that's their business. And we shouldn't be stealing from it just because we need to have larger government. We need to find a way to pay for it.
Dan, I think you've got a really good point, and that's something I hadn't thought of. The moral issue here, I believe, is very important. You know, the fact that we have a progressive tax situation is something that the people need to realize, and they need to realize that progressive taxes really don't solve the problem. Listen, you guys, stick around. Dan and I are going to be right back. We're going to try to provide a solution to the problem. Stick around.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of police, judges, and bureaucrats using traffic tickets and other regulatory traps to trick you out of your hard-earned money? Are you sick of fraudulent bankers rigging mortgages and using the foreclosure process to steal your home? You need to visit bestfreedomtools.com. Act now to get an amazing free catalog and free DVD packed with vital information to give you the upper hand against these so-called authorities. You will learn how to overcome all traffic fines, how to stop judges in their tracks, and how to effectively combat penalty notices of all kinds without paying a penny. All the information you need to regain your health, wealth, and power is yours at bestfreedomtools.com. To get your free catalog and free DVD, call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or visit bestfreedomtools.com now for your free catalog and free DVD. bestfreedomtools.com, giving you the information you need today.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing the discussion with Mr. Pacente from the Bay Area, we are talking about what really would work. You know, let's just say that I'm not a real believer in trickle-down economics. Let's just say that I'm not a real believer in a progressive tax system. But I'm a real believer in something that I think would work to get this country solvent again. When all is said and done, the thing that would work the best is to, number one, get everybody into the system. None of this 50% of the people don't pay taxes, okay? That's half of the equation. The other half of the equation is you got to cut the expenses. We cannot print money so that we have more and more and more entitlements. That simply is not going to work. That's not capitalism. Okay, going back to the first issue of the revenue side of the equation, I think the answer personally, and I feel very strongly about this, is a flat tax. Dan, agree or disagree?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think it's the answer to finding the level of government that you want. If the politicians could only manipulate the loan tax rate that everyone has to pay, believe me, every year when they come to you and say, hey, we want to add this much government, we want to add these services or add this to your health care, whatever it is,
right,
and we're going to raise the loan tax rate by X percent, everyone could figure out what that X percent means to them. They would say, well, I make $50,000 or I make $100,000 or whatever, and it would translate into some number. And they would make a calculation and say, well, I agree with that or I don't agree with it. So it's a mechanism that would allow the system to actually create the level of government that people want. Because yeah, after they do these private calculations, they're going to vote. And every politician is going to have that concern. Now, wait a minute. If we try and add this much government, it costs this much, and we have to change the rate, what's that going to do? And you'll find very quickly the level of government that works for the people. And, you know, the only other problem is that politicians seem to have no problem running big debts. And that's something that constitutionally we're going to have to probably amend the Constitution to try and restrict their ability to do that.
The debt ceiling on a regular basis continues to be, you know, to go to higher and higher and higher levels. I mean, it's a pure and simple fact, human nature being what it is, that politicians, you know, they want to buy votes. They want to be able to say, I did this for you guys. You know, no, I want to get voted back in office. And they don't, they have a tendency to get people to not look at the total picture. But, you know, whenever I talk about, for example, the health care, whenever I talk about entitlements in general, Dan, I typically get a fair amount, a large amount of emails from people who are saying, you know, there are people who simply can't take care of themselves. You've got to take care of the little guy. Big Al, you're a schmuck because you're saying if people can't fend for themselves, you know, they're simply out of luck. That's not at all what I'm saying. But how would you answer that question?
There's a certain percentage of the population that we have to practice
right.
some kind of reciprocity with. There's certain people, the people who can't take care of themselves because they have a mental illness or a severe physical illness that's busted them financially. For some other reason there, some immaturity level, some something, they suffer from something where they can't take care of themselves. The real indigent, you know, I don't think anyone has a problem with taking care of them and providing for them through government. And there are benefits that are realized by people. You don't want to see all of this problem in the street. You don't want to see suffering. You don't want to have suffering.
No.
But the problem is we have expanded that group to the whole middle class.
Yeah, to a larger extent.
The Democrat Party is constantly talking about how they're to defend the middle class and provide for the middle class and bring goodies to the middle class. Where is that written in our Constitution, which used to be the law of the land?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that's not the reason for that. If you want to improve your lot in life, you need to educate yourself, you need to take risks, you need to sacrifice some immediate gratification. You've got to do a lot of things to get there, and that's what most people of means have done in their lives. And so if you don't do that, why is it fair that they have to provide for you? It's not that they don't care. It's just it's not their responsibility. And so if we get to a system where there are those incentives still, I think you'll see more people move out of those groups. But also, too, we keep talking about groups as if they don't change. The fact of the matter is most of people's financial well-being is determined by their age. Over time, they improve their ability to do whatever they do, and they are able to save some money. And over time, they move through brackets or move through different classes. Now, it might not be that fluid of a system, and it might not be the story of everybody, but it isn't that you're fixed in one part of your life, that everybody sits in this area and they haven't improved. We keep saying the middle class hasn't moved. Well, people have moved in and out of the middle class, and so we got to stop looking at it that way. But the fact of the matter is it isn't that we don't care. It's just that it's not our responsibility.
I would take exception with one thing that you said, and that is in the circles that I travel in, and you definitely fall into that category, in terms of the Corlin family, we go out of our way, you know, and I'm not saying this to make myself look like a saint or whatever, because a lot of people laugh at me for doing this, but I would have to say that we feel a responsibility to help society. I mean, you know, I've said this a number of times. We're not the wealthiest people in the world. We're not the poorest people in the world, you know. But we take a certain amount of our money, of our capital, on a very regular basis, and we give it to causes that need help. Congressman Ron Paul, a guy who I really, really respect, said that he believes that if we move towards a society like you and I are talking about right now, Dan, where you have a fair taxation system, where you have a reasonable amount of governmental expenditures, the congressman says, I think you'd see people step up to the plate and start taking care of other people, you know, and I can give you numerous examples around the country where this is going on. And you know what? Here's three that pop into my mind right now. Bill Gates, Paul Allen, Warren Buffett.
Well, let me tell you what I do. I'm not that wealthy a person, but I've done pretty well in my life, and I don't need very much. And I like giving to charity. I get some joy out of
it. Sure.
I can pick people that I think are worthy of it. And when you take away people's money through taxation, they don't get to do that. The government, some other group decides who they're going to give money to. And I'm not really happy with where the money goes, to be quite honest with you, through the government. And every December, I look at my year and I say, all right, I had a pretty good year this year, so this is how much I can afford to give away. And I pick the people that I like. I happen to think that the military goes out and they risk dying for me. And I'm sitting here, a person who's able, I'm older now, nobody's going to take me in the military, but you know, they're risking their lives for me. So I happen to like the military charities, and I do those. And then I have some social ones that I like, and some illness ones that I like, and I go that route. But if somebody took all my money because they wanted to equate me with somebody else, then I wouldn't have that luxury of being able to help parties that I think are more worthy of it than what our federal government thinks are. So, but I think wealthy people have demonstrated – tremendous charity.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done an incredible job. Warren Buffett gave away nearly all of his wealth.
Yeah.
And you can see it in universities and public libraries, and I know people don't go to those anymore, but they're endowed by these men who've done something, and maybe some of it's selfish, they want to leave a legacy, but a lot of it is because they genuinely care. Look what the Gates are doing with disease and in poor countries.
Yep.
It's amazing. They don't have to glorify these people, but they should be thankful. First of all, they subsidize them through the tax system. And they also do incredible good work.
I think a very effective way to end up these two, to kind of summarize these two segments is to say that the system that we have right now, whether you're talking about a continuation of the Bush policies, whether you're talking about trickle-down economics, whether you're talking about this, whether you're talking about that, the fact of the matter is, in a very real sense, our system is not working. End of story. I think what you and I are talking about, I'm really comfortable with that, and I think that if we had action on the part of our society, okay, and that if we had a fair system within government to increase revenues and decrease expenses, I think the United States would go back to being a very, very major superpower. We're losing that right now, and you know what, my friend? It may not continue into the future. Final thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that there's some concern that people really lose faith in their government, and they find ways to avoid paying the tax that they actually owe because they don't care about it. They either go offshore or they do things under the table. They do everything they can to contribute to a system that that should be working just fine.
There you have it. No predictions in these two segments, but you know what? I would really like to get your comments, whether or not you disagree or disagree with what Dan and I have had to say. You know, we've got some pretty vocal listeners out there. They are commenting on our website, which is a very easy thing to do. I want to ask you guys to do that because you know what? I might be really missing the boat, but I think that what we're talking about is the only way to save the situation in our country. Stick around. Big Al's going to be back for the second hour of the Corlin Economics Report.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.